curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I'm here in the podcast studio with Ron Kitchens. And Ron, I would like to ask how you are doing this fabulous morning here.
But I am awesome.
That is great. And I am awesome as well and excited about today's conversation because I think it's really relevant right now. We have received so many calls from leaders. I know you have, I have. And we've talked about this on this podcast a lot recently, and any leadership podcast that you've listened to has really talked about how challenging this time of leadership is. And part of that is because you're leading a huge change management effort in your organization, whether you've taken the time to realize that and admit to it or not. You know, humans are undergoing a lot of change in their normal life. So even if your business itself wasn't necessarily as impacted, the people that you're working with all around you have been in many ways. So today we're gonna pick your brain, Ron, about how to manage that change process in our world right now. And specifically for leaders who are leading teams, how to navigate knowing that people have undergone a lot of change, but that business also needs to change in many ways, but it needs to keep moving forward. And that requires a lot of leadership and a lot of direction. So I want to kick it off with you just asking you to talk a little bit about your process. I know at the beginning of this, we didn't think we were going to be in this situation for as long as we are. We didn't anticipate as many drastic changes as we've experienced. But now, you know, we realize that this is kind of a new reality in some ways. And so we're now seeing like the adaptations and continued strategic decision making around a more long term changes in the workplace and in the way we socialize and in the way we navigate. But how has that impacted your relationship with the team? Can you talk a little bit about how you've navigated going through your own change, you know, in your leadership and kind of going through that change process yourself and then transitioning that to how do I lead a team through this change process, which is unlike anything that we've ever had to lead through before?
It's impossible in times of crisis to overcommunicate. It's amazing to me, no matter how clear I think I've said something, how an hour later I'll have somebody have a question and go, did you not listen? I just covered that. But no, they were listening. But the well of need to know right now is so deep, you're going to have to pour a lot in it to fill it up. So you got to over communicate. And you got to talk about things that normally you're just not going to talk about on a regular basis. But people need to know that they're fully in the process, and that they're asked for feedback. People don't have to get their way every time, but they have to be heard. So you've got to constantly be looking for feedback, constantly talking about what's going on, to the point that sometimes it bores me a little bit. That's kind of not the right way to say it, but to talk about it, because I think, we've talked about this, you know, every other day for 2 months. Do we really need to talk about it? Yeah, we do. Because invariably, somebody will have a question and you go, oh, I see your perspective and where that question's coming from. And no, you're right. I wasn't seeing that. So you got to constantly do that. For me, I'm a visual learner leader in that I've got to sit down and write things out. I don't know what I really believe till I write it down. And so during this crisis, you know, we started with, you know, an exercise of imagining what are the worst things that can happen in this? What are the worst things that can happen? And what's our response to that? And so we created the extremes and then said, now the reality is, what do we believe is going to happen? And then we created solutions or adaptations for that and got that written down. And then circulated that to more leaders on the team and said, hey, what's not on here that could happen? What is the response that would be to that? And where are we wrong on all these other things? And what we found, there was probably 25 or 30% more things that could go wrong that I didn't see because I don't see them every day. So it enabled us to then share that with the entire team and say, now I want, and we broke it up by groups and said, now you all watch these things and tell us, which are we, the extreme or are we at our best guess? And so what it did more than anything is created an environment where we weren't victims. We were projecting it. We knew what was coming. So when it came, we went, yeah, we thought that was going to be that. Or, oh, I thought it was going to be worse. Or I thought the punch was going to be, you know, better, less. But we can't, but we knew what was coming. We then structured this idea of, okay, now let's go dream for the future. Now, with everything that we think is going to happen, all that, what are the things that we could do in your area of expertise to either bring costs down, which I'm not a fan of, because that assumes we were wasting money before, and I don't think we were, but there were costs that brought down because we're not going to do those things anymore because the world changed. But what are the things that we could do to better serve our clients, customers, communities? What are those things in your area? And we got pages of good ideas, but then more importantly, we had everyone present their idea to the entire group. Now, there was no voting on it. Everybody got applause and affirmation. But what it did is say, okay, now we're no longer a victim of change. We're now an agent of change and in the future. And I think that didn't make the problems any worse, but what it did was say the pain of those problems were less because we knew what was coming, we anticipated it, and we're overcoming it.
Yes, and I think, you know, you talked a little bit at the beginning about communication, and you just can't really over-communicate right now, but also including your team members in on the solution and in on the strategy. It not only helps to cement what the organization is going through, which we all have this anxiety, right, of what is happening that happening to me that I might not know is happening right now, because you see so many people who have either their work has been displaced or something has happened related to this pandemic or just things going on in the world that you start to feel like things are out of your control. And as humans, we don't. Even though everything is always out of our control, a lot of things are, we don't like that feeling. And it creates great anxiety when you don't know, when you don't think you can plan or you don't know what the strategy is. So including everybody in and saying, share your ideas, share your feedback, really does bring people together in a place where they not only can understand the direction and the potential problems, but also can hear about what some of the solutions might be. Which again, on previous episodes, we've talked about how much energy that can give people to be a part of a solution versus just hearing about a problem every day. And we hear so many leaders right now that are communicating a lot, but they're communicating a lot about what the problem is.
They're communicating as Eeyore.
Yeah.
And not as Tigger.
Right.
And I get that they're trying to be good leaders and they're saying what's going on. But then even if you don't have the solutions, so I don't know of our list of great ideas that our team came up with, I don't know if any of them are going to be reality, but what I know is it gave us a sense of control. It gave us a sense of we are agents of change. We're the captains of our own ship. We don't control. So if you're captain of the ship, you don't control the ocean. You don't control the weather. You don't control the waves. You don't control the current. What you control is the ship. So we know we're going to control our ship. We're going to keep it off the rocks. We're going to keep people safe. We're going to go in directions that deliver value, that deliver our cargo to ports that create great value. And there is huge, huge advantages in that of doing that with your team. And, you know, now that, you know, we're in a push, you know, we're in a season that has been changed because of COVID. Normally, where we live in Michigan, August is a very slow season because people are getting ready to take their kids back to school. They're on family vacations. They're doing all of that. But because COVID changed everything, we know that from July 4th to Thanksgiving is going to be our biggest block of time of the year. And we have to sprint through that. So we have to be talking to people all the time. Remember our why. Remember what we're doing. Remember why we're doing it. Why we're paying this cost. And we have to remember, let's do this safe. Let's understand that other people who we may have expectations of going faster to be better partners with us aren't going to be there for us. Their organizations don't do that. You know, we're going to switch partners in some cases because now, frankly, we're at a point that people that we might have been too busy to or too successful to do business with us before, all of a sudden our business is light and they're coming to us saying, let's create things that we can help you go faster, particularly on the technology side, where we just simply couldn't afford the best. And now it looks like we can. And so how do we invest our dollars today to accelerate so that tomorrow when a new version of tomorrow is established, we've set ourselves miles ahead of the competition.
Ron, one of the biggest challenges that I think leaders have expressed to us during this time is really, I think they get the communication. They're you know, stumbling through that as we all are. They're really trying to engage their team, but it comes down to really setting expectations for the team about performance, because a lot of people, their role has shifted. And it's not just shifted once. It's shifted maybe almost weekly during this because the world is changing so fast. And so that is hard for people to know, am I on track? And not knowing whether you're on track creates that anxiety that ends up sometimes paralyzing people from doing their best work. So how as an organization, or how have you as a leader really tried to tackle that the issue of having a team for us of 26 people that all really need a little bit more of you and your time to feel like they're on track? Because we don't have, it's hard to quantify in terms of performance metrics. We can in some cases for some people, but for other people, their work right now is exploring a new world, and that's hard to quantify so that people feel like they've met the metric or met the mark. And that means that they need to hear from you that they are on track. And how are you as a leader navigating that?
Yeah, I think that's been one of those things that I'm learning as we go, as are you. I know that you asked the question of me, but you know, the first thing we did was we're a measures-driven organization. So, you know, we have a scoreboard up on the wall that everybody knows how they're doing against their team goals, against our annual goals, against our 10-year goals. So we believe in measuring and counting things. The first thing we said is, okay, the first thing we're going to do is stop. Now, let's figure out at the end of the year, what are we going to be glad that we counted? And so we created a very simple, literally, it's a Excel, it's not even Excel, I think it's a Word document that people are handwriting in, filling in numbers. And we kept it low key, low scale on purpose, so it feels authentic, of the things that we want to count towards the end of the year. Now, there are things that we started with that we went, oh yeah, that's not going to matter now, cut it. So we're not scared of change. But people need a scoreboard. They need to know what the rules are. But it's also where we know that part of our responsibility around creating a vibrant economy is to ensure that we're looking at our economy like an activist investor. So we don't want any resources to be wasted. We don't want any people on the sidelines that there could be work for. So, you know, the hospitality business is going to get hammered in this, whether it's movie theaters, whether it's convention hotels, live music venues, live theater venues, they're going to get hammered, and restaurants. And so how do we create an environment where some of those people are going to go to work in warehouses or manufacturing or offices, but there's a big chunk of those folks who are entrepreneurial. They're creative people. That's why they were working in those businesses. So, you know, rather than just go randomly start some new entrepreneurial program focused around those people, we went and looked for the best programming in the country. And in our mind, for what we're doing, it's the folks at Plywood People in Atlanta, who happen to be Jeff Schoenbarger and his team, are great friends. And so we're partnering with them and delivering those services. They're delivering those services on our behalf to our people. And it took a team of 3 months to figure out every variable in the country, what we were trying to achieve, to do it authentically. Because, you know, as a man over 50, I was trained that if there's a problem, just solve it. You know, just go solve the damn problem and, you know, knock the wall down. Well, that's not going to serve our economy the best. We need thoughtful people who could go look at every possible solution and then know that they had my support to look at that. Well, there wasn't a whole lot to measure that. So if you're on that team, it would be a little easy to believe, oh, I've been given a busy work project. But I had to keep reminding that team, you're the solution to what I believe is our biggest problem going forward. If we want to make sure unemployment continues to drop, we're going to have to help entrepreneurs create small companies. And these are, I'm not looking to create the next, you know, great publicly traded company. These are a lot going to be companies that employ 3, 4, 5, or 6 people making the next best ice cream bar. We have to be okay with that. I think it's actually pretty amazing. But we have to be okay with the team going and spending that and knowing they're still valued, even though we can't measure the work they're doing at that time. Because that's where that, if you're a high performance person, you need to know there's a scoreboard. And so that scoreboard ends up having to be, you know, your point leader telling you what you're doing is important. Here's what it is, giving you feedback, talking without controlling the outcome. And so it is hard, but it's critically important.
It's so important. And as you said, it is hard because as leaders, we have a lot on our plate right now. And having more people to check in on that we didn't historically have to have that close of a relationship with in terms of talking through their performance, because there were other point leaders that those expectations were set and they had a good working relationship. But for whatever reason right now, it feels like people are needing, especially the individual at the top, which is you in this case, they need to know that they're on track with that person. That person's opinion of their work really matters to them right now, because
we all need to be validated.
Yeah.
We need to be told it doesn't. And I think one of the things I've struggled with is understanding how to react to my friends of color, my Black friends with Black Lives Matter, and how to be authentic without feeling like I'm just patting them on the back and saying, well, of course it matters. And so I just ask a friend. I just was honest and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And he said, I think what you're going to find is most people just need you to know they're seen and they are heard. And that, you know, and in this case, I said, your life matters to me. You matter to me. And if that matters to you, then it matters to me. And I think that really, that attitude transcends that movement and is human nature. And I think it takes a crisis for us all to realize that we all need to be told that we matter, and particularly those who don't have power and influence, that you matter, and if something's important to you, it's important to me.
Exactly. And I think, you know, you said that so well, and I think that goes down to people in the organization that are experiencing a lot of change or experiencing a lot of anxiety or really feeling the impacts of just a lot of the feelings of disconnection in the world right now. And it feels like a kind of heavy place where you don't know who to trust and you just are looking for stable ground. And sometimes that stable ground is knowing you're on track, at least with your job.
Yep.
And so we have to, as leaders of organizations, we have to understand that we can easily look at a person and say, they're on track, they're doing great, I don't need to spend that much time with them. I'm going to go focus over here where we need more significant rebuilding and reshoring. But we can't do that. We have to look at each person and make sure that they're getting enough so that they're feeling fed to keep moving forward. And that might feel like a really heavy burden sometimes, but it is the part of leadership that really helps move people to the next phase, which hopefully growth will come from all of this, not only for us as leaders, but for the teams that we lead. So it's a huge investment of time for a good cause. So Ron, anything else that you want to share with the listening audience today?
I think just to quote the great Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, gather everybody together, keep everybody warm, and just keep riding the storm out.
Awesome. Well, you can't end in a better way than REO Speedwagon. So I look forward to another conversation with you next week, and I hope you have a good week in between now and then.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.